Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2191, with a release date of Friday, October 25th, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Scouts mark a triumphant jamboree on the air. Hams keep it real in an earthquake drill. And a longtime fixture in NASA's ARIS program comes back to Earth in Australia. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2191 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Our top story this week is the conclusion of Scouting's largest worldwide event. Bill Stern's NE4RD has a wrap-up.
This week in Radio Scouting, we close the books on another successful jamboree on the air and jamboree on the internet. With station reports quickly filing in, it looks like in spite of band conditions and tropical storm warnings, many groups appear to have had a great weekend of radio scouting activities. One of the reports that stood out so far was from W4UOO Mike Springer, where he reports from the Greater Tampa Bay Area Council that they had scheduled three council spookeries. Given Tropical Storm Nestor was making landfall on Saturday somewhere on the west coast of Florida, two of the three events were rescheduled. The 240 hardy Cub Scouts and parents and leaders that chose to come to Flaming Arrow Scout Reservation had opportunity to participate in Jamboree on the Air. There was not a dry stitch of clothing worn anywhere by anyone. However, with some creativity and agility, the planning team kept the activities going, and amateur radio prevailed among many activities under cover of porches, pavilions, and dining areas during the long rainmaking for experiences ranging from memorable to extremely exciting for Jamboree on the Air 2019. The K2BSA is eagerly awaiting U.S. stations to report their event summary on the K2BSA website. So get over there and file your report while the details are fresh. For more information on this and radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
When a worldwide earthquake preparedness drill began recently, hams in one of the major earthquake regions of the U.S. were ready. We welcome the newest member of our Amateur Radio Newsline team, Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, with the story.
It was just a drill, but then, drills are what make for practiced preparedness. That was the case with the Great Shakeout, a series of earthquake drills held worldwide in October. There were more than 66 million registered participants in 60 countries, at schools, medical centers, government offices, and businesses. With preparedness at the heart of ham radio, the Jefferson County ARIES Group in Washington State was among those to respond on October 17th, the 30th anniversary of San Francisco's Loma Prieta earthquake. Dick Illman, AH6EZ, Vice President of the Jefferson County Amateur Radio Club, said the ARIES Group, also known as VCOM, for Volunteer Emergency Communicators, helped coordinate the response to the exercise's simulated events. He told Newsline there were 17 neighborhoods reporting and 35 VCOM check-ins on the local Port Townsend repeater. He said the EOC team made use of a system based on FEMA's Lifeline concept. Dick said Jim Betterly, N7ING, operated from the local high school. Students there and throughout the Chimicum School District took cover under their desks and later were evacuated, according to local news reports. Washington State considers the exercise vital to public safety, given the proximity to the Cascadia Subduction Zone Fault. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Many hams, myself included, have used the popular HamTest online service to study for license exams. Sadly, on Thursday, October 17th, Christina Cunningham, KT1NA, HamTest Online's general manager and the wife of owner John W1AI, became a silent key at age 62 after a battle with cancer. According to her husband, she wanted to be a ham in her 20s, but the men at the local electronics store told her it would be too difficult for a girl and she should just get into CB radio instead. She did. But after meeting John and discovering that he was a ham, she decided to get her license. John remembers.
She was a very strong willed, very self-confident woman. And I said, so what license are you going to get? And she says, well, I'll get the extra, of course. Because, of course, by that time she knew enough about it to know what the levels were. And I said, okay, well, I'll help you. And she says, no, sorry, you can't help. I'm going to test and see if your course is any good. But anyway, after 6 weeks, she went. She took all three exams, passed all three, and came out with her extra.
John says there's a message in the couple's story, which began about 8 years ago.
We were both widowed, and we met in an online dating site. And we knew when we got into the relationship that most of our lives was behind us, and we hoped we'd have a few decades together, but we weren't sure. We lived constantly like we knew that our time was precious. And so we crammed a lot of stuff into those 8 years. We had eight awesome years. You never know how much longer you're going to have on this planet, so make the most out of the time you have.
All of us at Amateur Radio Newsline offer our sincere condolences to John Cunningham and his family. Special event station WW1 USA expects to be busy next month, marking an important centennial, as we learn from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Amateur radio operators in the Kansas City, Missouri region are continuing their observance of World War I Centennial by operating special event station WW1 USA on Saturday, the 9th of November, at the National World War I Museum and Memorial. The radio operators, who will be set up in the West Lobby, are hoping for contacts around the world. They invite any licensed amateur radio operator visiting the memorial on that day to step up and serve as a guest operator. Hams who do will receive a special amateur radio operator certificate. Hams are also hopeful for an active day of global contacts. According to the museum website, more than 5,000 amateurs around the world have received contact certificates from WW1 USA. According to the station's page on QRZ.com, the station has made more than 25,000 contacts with amateurs in every U.S. state and 98 countries since June of 2014, when operators at the museum began marking the centennial. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Candidates hoping to sit for their amateur license test in the Philippines are getting ready for a seminar that's required first. Here's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, with the details.
The Philippine Amateur Radio Association is getting ready to host yet another orientation seminar for prospective licensees on Saturday, November the 9th. Attendance at the seminar is required, and a certificate of attendance is mandatory for anyone wishing to sit for an examination. The session will be held at PARA headquarters in Quezon City and can accommodate as many as 100 people. Orientation sessions are free and are held every second Saturday of the month from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Those attending will be required to bring two pieces of identification and be prepared to purchase the orientation handbook. For more details, visit the association website at para.org.ph. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
The ARRL's leaders are hoping to become more accessible for two-way conversations by creating three new online discussion groups. League members and non-members will have access to these groups, which focus on contesting, awards, and International Amateur Radio Union matters. The contest group will be moderated by Dennis Egan, W1UE, the ARRL's Contest Advisory Committee Chairman. The awards group will be moderated by Bart Jenke, W9JJ, the league's radio sport manager. And the IARU group will be moderated by the union secretary, Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, who is also the league's former CEO. All subscribers to an ARRL group are automatically subscribed to another group called ARRL Groups, which permits the league to send subscribers routine announcements, including advance notice if the system is going down for maintenance. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W0EF repeater in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, on Saturdays at 9:30 a.m. A longtime radio amateur in Illinois is facing child porn trafficking charges. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the latest.
A longtime amateur radio operator and ham club officer in Champaign, Illinois, has been held, accused of trafficking in child pornography. Milton Forsberg, K9QZI, who was described in the local News Gazette newspaper as a Boy Scout leader for more than 3 decades in the Champaign-Urbana area, is being held while the case goes to a grand jury. The newspaper said Forsberg, treasurer of the Twin City Amateur Radio Club, has also assisted scouts who were trying for their radio merit badges. His attorney, Steve Beckett, said his ham radio activities included providing emergency support services in coordination with the Champaign Fire Department. The 79-year-old Forsberg was arrested on October 16th. According to Champaign Police Sergeant Pat Simmons, he has denied any inappropriate contact with boys. The newspaper quoted Jared White, scout executive for the Prairie Lands Council, who issued the following statement on October 22nd, quote, "Upon learning these claims, we took immediate action to involve law enforcement, and while this individual is no longer in scouting, we barred him from any future participation in our programs. Nothing is more important than the safety of our youth members," close quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Officials in Australia are looking for alternatives to HF when it comes to maritime distress messages. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has the details.
If you're in Australia, you have until the 29th of November to submit your comments on a recommendation that would end the use of HF frequencies for maritime distress communications. The proposal was made by the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, which is seeking input on the suggested change, which it says it would implement on the 1st of January 2022. The authority has said that there has been a steady decline in the use of HF for safety and communications messages, and there are several alternative communication systems under consideration instead. The authority noted that there is no legislative requirement for marine agencies and rescue organisations in Australia to monitor the safety and distress calling frequencies on HF. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Are you ready for a friendly sprint around the world? Then this report from Ed Durant, DD5LP, is for you.
Think of it as a race around the world, which in a sense it is. It's the EANet Sprint Contest, and it's taking place on the 3rd of November from 0800 to 1200 UTC. It's 4 short and hopefully sweet hours of as many contacts as a ham can make with as many stations around the world. All and any amateur frequencies are allowed, and satellite mode is welcome too. Competitors are in one of two categories, radio clubs or individual radio amateurs. Each of those categories has two subcategories, national and international. More details can be found at FEDIA.org, FEDIEA.org, the website of FEDIA EA, the first federation of radio amateurs association in Spain. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Students in Brazil got their first taste of ham radio via satellite. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, with that story.
Launched in 2013, the FunCube, also known as AO73, is a CubeSat with the primary mission of teaching and outreach. It recently fulfilled that mission again, this time in Brazil, at a science fair at a high school in Boa Vista. On the 16th of October, the students were first tutored in the basics of amateur radio by Paulo, PV8DX, and Alison, PR7GA, as they prepared to build antennas and get ready for the contacts they would be having later that day. At the request of Paulo, a special short text-like message known as a fitter message was transmitted from the satellite. Back at the school, the students were then able to copy and have what was for most their first on-air reception and a taste of what it's like being a ham. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, the special event stations 5J500LDV, 5J500D, 5J500L, and 5J500V will commemorate the 500th anniversary of Leonardo da Vinci's death. They'll be on the air from Columbia until the end of October. Be listening on 80 through 10 meters on CW, single sideband, digital modes, and via satellite. An award program will be available as well. QSL to HK3VHZ on Logbook of the World or EQSL. Listen for lots of summit activators on the HF bands from 1300 UTC on Saturday, the 2nd of November, in the Americas and Europe, trying for contacts across the pond. Modes are single sideband, CW, and digital, often only running QRP. In Cyprus, Jamie, M0SDV, will be active as P3F during the CQ Worldwide DX single sideband contest on October 26th and 27th. Send QSLs for P3F to M0URX or OQRS. Before and after the contest, Jamie will operate as 5B/M0SDV. Send QSL requests to M0SDV Direct, Logbook of the World, or Club Logs, OQRS. Jim, N6TJ, will be using the call sign IO8T from the island of Ischia during the CQ Worldwide DX single sideband contest on October 26th and 27th. Send QSLs to N6TJ. Members of the Quito Radio Club will be active as HC0E from Ecuador during the CQ Worldwide DX single sideband contest. Send QSLs to HC1QRC, direct, or by the Bureau. And finally, all things must come to an end. This newscast, of course. And in Australia, a long and fruitful relationship between one ham and the U.S. Space Agency. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has the story.
For more than three decades, Tony Hutchison, Victor Kilo 5 Zulu Alpha India, has let his head and his heart travel far beyond the clouds as someone the U.S. Space Agency, NASA, could rely on. He has had a long involvement with amateur radio on the International Space Station and, indeed, many of the astronauts and cosmonauts themselves. His attention is about to become a bit more grounded, however. At the end of this year, Tony, 80, is stepping down from his role operating his Telebridge ground station from the ARIS program from his South Australia home. It's been a long flight for Tony. His first contact with a space traveller came in 1992, as cosmonaut Anatoly Soloviev floated high above the Earth aboard the Mir space station. That led to further on-air chats, including some with another cosmonaut, Alexander Serebrov. When NASA astronaut Andy Thomas, KD5CHF, VK5MIR, arrived on board Mir, NASA asked Tony to assist the new arrival, a native of Australia, with space station communications. Tony had become part of the team to connect amateur radio on the International Space Station with schools. He said in a recent interview with ABC.net in Australia, he believed he'd spoken with more than 100 astronauts over the years. He told ABC.net that, at least for now, he wants to spend more time with his wife Jill. He also wants to do some travelling of his own, right now, right here, back on Earth. And as an aside to this story, back here on Earth, I just happened to be on vacation in Hong Kong a week or so back and, confined to the hotel because of demonstrations and rallies, I took refuge in the sports bar, as you do, when, lo and behold, the entire VK5 Zulu Alpha India ABC story played out on the big screens at the conclusion of a football game. A small blue globe we live on indeed. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK5BB.
With thanks to abc.net.au, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT UK, the ARRL, the Champaign, Illinois News Gazette, CQ Magazine, Dick Illman, AH6EZ, Essex Ham, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, the Peninsula Daily News, rrmediagroup.com, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019. All rights reserved.